This is the Carlton Podcast. Here's your host, Tony Moclair.
Hello and welcome to the official Carlton Football Club podcast number 2 for 2014. Your host, Mitch Robbo Robinson.
It's good to be here, mate. How are you, Tone Moclair?
I'm very well, thank you, Robbo.
/ Widow Hatzis.
A bit to get through today, Robbo. In one. Particular, you have new ink to tell us about.
Yeah, I'm addicted.
We are going to perform something of a post-mortem on last week's game.
Rest in peace.
Not exactly the Royal Commission into the building industry, but, you know, similar in scope. But
we've got to get it done and put under the mat and go forward, I think. But now we've got a big special guest in here.
We certainly have. I'm very excited to have this young man in.
I am too. He looks
how
nervous.
He's
got
facial hair for the occasion too, and he's going to tell us all about that.
Dennis
Arfield? No, Tommy Bell.
Oh, Tommy Bell. Welcome, mate.
Hey, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good. Very good.
We'll take it easy on him today.
Very happy to be here.
Can I tell you, Robert?
And that's a lie too, because on the way up he was going, oh, God, I just want to get this done.
But what's the worst that can happen in a podcast?
He asked as well if it was live or not, so you can have a word.
I listen to this weekly and I'm pretty stoked to be in here.
Two lies and two sentences already. He's done well.
He did say before the podcast began, Robbo, his actual quote was, go easy on the belly or go easy on the bell?
Go easy on the big bell.
The big bell.
Yeah.
Self-proclaimed big bell.
Yeah, now,
not with that nickname.
Last week, what happened, Robbo?
Last week, where do we start?
Yeah.
Great first quarter. The boys are up and about. I think, we had high expectations of the game and, you know, round one's obviously a big change in pace and we've gone from a couple of NAB Cup games to getting the structures right and now we're playing for the 4 points. So, we had a few scoring shots in the last quarter early on, which kind of, if we kicked those two goals, it would have been in our favour, I reckon. So you can tell how the game
swings. Tell me what was going through your head when you missed?
I missed two goals. I missed a little possible goal of the year on the boundary line.
Yeah,
and I missed the one just before half time where they would have put us up in very steady position for going to third quarter. But it definitely wasn't my night. One of those things where you just, every time you get the ball, you kind of panic a little bit. And I think I had a good week on the track, and I was kind of trying to settle and relax a little bit and just focus on footy and what I've got to do. But we went to the last quarter, and you can't say much. It's kind of depressing, but you don't want to, cry about it too much. Just want to get on next week, which is Richmond, and that's our massive game.
And we will get to that. Tommy, your thoughts on the Port Adelaide game?
Yeah, I think Robbo summed up pretty well. We started very strong. Obviously, just probably our scoring shots let us down. Going into the last quarter, I think we were 6 points up. And, as Mitch said, we didn't capitalise early on those two goals, and I think that would have really helped us out.
What do we have? We had like 5-13 at one stage, I'm pretty sure, so that never really helps.
There's some terrible echoes of last year in that kind of kicking. But the cause of death, the official cause of death for last week was lack of match fitness. So there's a difference between being fit and being match fit. Tommy, can I ask you, did you do Arizona?
Yeah, I did do Arizona.
Okay, so...
And let's keep in mind, Tommy Bell is one of the best runners at the club as well, so...
Okay, so what does Arizona actually bring us when it comes to the first bounce of round one of the season?
I think not only, obviously we did all these walks, which made us a lot fitter. I think it brings the team together a lot as well, which is probably good coming into round one because you want to have a good bond with all your teammates and everything like that. I'm not really too sure what went on late days there.
I'm just trying to get a difference between, say... normal fitness and then match fitness. If match fitness is the reason that we're not winning a game, what's the...
Even like pre-seasons, you can run as much as you want around laps around the oval and you can do all that kind of fitness work and ex-fit like on the grinder and the G-trainer running around. But when you start getting physical and running to compete, it's a total different ball game. You can play 4 or 5 practice matches till you probably start getting the feel of actual match fitness because the first quarter, the intensity is lifted up like to a massive standard and you tack the ball, you have one effort with a tackle, and all the adrenaline's gone, so you go for another tackle, and you're just running back and forth. And I think early on, we were probably a bit too hesitant with our rotations and stuff early on, and I think we ended up with 84 for the game when there's 120 caps. So I think we made a mistake there as well, and a few players probably stayed on longer than they should have. And it kind of, in the last quarter, we looked a bit stuffed, and we should have been rotating every couple of minutes. So
you can tell the intensity does go up round one compared to all the other practice matches. I reckon you can play as many practice matches as you want, and then you get to round one, and then that first quarter is just electric. Guys are not stopping running. So I think that's probably something to do with it as well.
In terms of how electric it was, there was what? There was 24,000 supporters there on the ground.
It's crazy that, packed.
I mean, does that make a difference? Because, you know, Carlton being an establishment blue chip club of the AFL, we are used to playing in front of more people than that at home. Did that make any sort of difference, Mitch?
It's been a tough one. There's been some great games in the first week of AFL, you know, GWS in Sydney and Gold Coast and Richmond. Like, they were awesome games, but you would have been thinking, oh, what kind of round one's this?
Mm.
But it was definitely different playing on a Sunday night, 7:40 against Port Adelaide. Like, in the past few years, we've played Richmond, like, 80,000+ on a Thursday night, the main stage and stuff. And you can just tell, even like everyone's told me watching TV, the game just didn't look like a round one game. So I think the AFL is trying to do stuff with TV rights. I'm not too sure, but seeing because on a Sunday, instead of having like a Gold Coast and North Melbourne game, they would, you know, try and have a couple of big dogs on the stage. So I think they're just going off that and trying to see what actually crowds and people watching TV can get.
Yeah, there was, I guess, a bit of a clash with the Grand Prix as well.
Exactly.
The AFL couldn't possibly have known about advance. No. Probably nobody.
I would have liked to see a game at the MCG. That would have been. No, the 140 would have been pretty nice, but...
Yeah. Robbo, of course, there was a couple of quite notable debuts. Dale Thomas, Andreas Everett. They kicked goals early. Can you tell me how they were, say, for the second half of the game and then how they were in the rooms afterwards?
Oh, I think it was a pretty magic moment at the start of the game. I was on the bench, but doing what I do best, is warming that up. But Dale Thomas, kicked I think his first kick was a goal for Colton, and all the boys got around him. Everyone was pretty up and about, saying, how good is this? You got Dale Thomas there kicking goals, and Andreas Everett as well. I think he kicked the second goal of the game. So two recruits that we got from other clubs stood up straight away and, you know, put their mark on the footy and kicked a couple of snags. But, yeah, going into the last half of the game, Dale Thomas has obviously been a little bit underdone, but, you know, he definitely stand up when he needs to, and I think he gathered about 16 touches, but, you know, we're just trying to get as much game time in him as possible and, you know, in and around the ball where he does best, and we'll try and push him out in the wing and get him playing his All-Australian football.
Okay, so did you guys speak to him? Tommy, did you speak to him after the game? Dale Thomas, I'm talking
about. Billy doesn't talk to many players around the club. He just talks to his little...
I was actually pretty disappointed after the game, so I didn't really talk to many people, but it is a really good sign for the club seeing, obviously, Andreas Everett and Dale kick those two first goals. I think... That is a really good sign for the club. It sort of shows where the club is going, if you know what I mean.
Okay. Well, like other players who had good games: Bryce Gibbs, Cade Simpson, Lockie Henderson, Ed Curno, Mark Murphy. How were they after the game?
Yeah, no, those boys, you know, it's more of the leaders that stood up in the game. As you said, all these players, besides Curno's and leadership group, so it goes to show like they're standing up. Simo in particular, he just works his ass off every quarter, every minute of the game. So.
Amazing.
Hey?
It's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah, he's one of the
Simo backing the packs late. Yeah.
He plays
the last
anywhere.
Quarter. You just sort of inspirational stuff. You sort of it's pretty disappointing when you see him doing that, and obviously.
And you don't. Have, I think it's more leaders, more of the core middle group that didn't really, you know, get behind the leaders. And I think like for myself and Billy, we could have done a lot better. And you know, with my disposal and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, next week is a true testament. We'll see how we go. Otherwise, I'll be playing the Magoos the week after. I reckon.
Well, talking about next week, I do want to get to bring back the Wolf with regards to Matthew Watson in a second.
Yes, I heard his first big left foot.
Ange Christou is a name that probably doesn't mean anything to you, Robbo.
Yes, it does. A kebab shop, mate.
Oh, very good. Very good. Small Businessman of the Year, along with Anthony Koufidis.
I think it went pretty well.
Tremendous player, and it used to be the tradition that whenever he playing off the wing,
so it has to be backman, does it? It has to be backman left footer.
Well, it's generally the, you know, Valperovic was another one. It's generally the rule. They gather the ball, they kick. Ange was a magnificent kick, and so the whole crowd would just, the Carlton supporters would just go woof. I don't know the origins of it.
We had I did hear the crowd go pretty loud when he got his first left kick going to 50 metres. But I do remember, I think Cruz is still a standout for us. Every time he goes near a mark, everyone will yell, Cruz.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one that stands out in my mind. And I think another one was Bootsman's first game.
Big Bootsman's
first game was a crowd favourite straight up, I reckon.
Yeah. He's pretty hard to miss on the ground.
Yeah, that's big curly hair of his. Every touch he got, the crowd was going wild, so...
Well, we'll see if that sticks. We'll see if Watto actually earns the right to be woofed every time he goes near the ball or kicks the ball. Or
imagine that in front of 95,000 at the G.
Yeah.
It would just rattle, wouldn't it?
It would.
Be so loud.
It would.
It's a great sound, yeah.
I reckon we prefer 24,000 on a Sunday night. It's pretty good.
Sometimes people make a different sound when you go near the ball, Robbo.
No, everyone just goes, oh, hit a target.
Now, round two, Richmond. I haven't played them since the finals of last year.
No, we haven't.
When my son saw a different side of daddy.
I've heard his story.
After the third 50-metre penalty was awarded for absolutely nothing, my 7-year-old son saw daddy do a kind of dance in front of the TV.
Okay.
And produce a lot of words about the umpire that my son had never heard before.
A few words that he never heard before came out of dad's mouth as well, I'm pretty sure.
At great volume.
I'm sure it's not radio-worthy.
No, it's definitely not. There were complaints from across the Bass Strait about the volume of the language.
My mum's a witness, and she heard your swearing from in Tassie, so just keep it down next time. Mate.
Look, if the umpiring's okay, I will. We, of course, remember Juddy's spectacular 15-minute burst in the third quarter, which was just unbelievable.
Set the tone, didn't he?
Going into that game, Tommy, how are we going to prepare? It's because you're dealing with the tyranny of the split round, which must be doing your head in.
Yep, I think the split round
is terrible.
In a way, I don't really like it, but in a way, it is a good thing. We have had that longer break to prepare for this game. I think on preparation, we're just going to prepare like it's another game. Obviously, we are versus Richmond, who we have had great battles with in the past. So I think, personally, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to another challenge, obviously, on the big stage. So
there is something special about the Richmond Games, Robert, because there is so much kind of rivalry in history between the two clubs. How are we prepared differently for Richmond as compared to Port?
Not so much. It's we had Barry, coach is he? He's a... Opposition coach. Like he will go out and scout, you know, Port Adelaide 4 weeks before we actually play him. He does that with every team that we come up against. So we've got a fair bit of information on Richmond and the new players that come in and left. So, you know, they got our Ruckman Hampson, so we pretty much know how he plays. And I think we've got a couple of good new occlusions, which I have to kind of be mindful of. And you know, we'll watch the tapes last year because, you know, it was only like two games ago, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, so, I think you'll enjoy that because you had a particularly good game.
Yeah, I did, besides that punching the ball over the line. But other than that, kicked the goal, put us back in front, so don't forget that part.
Yeah.
It's going to be a massive game, and it's kind of who can do the pressure things early and, you know, set the momentum early. So, we've got our opposition meeting next Monday, and we'll go from there. We'll speak to all the coaches and do our extras and touch and what we need to work on and what we worked before. So, we'll be ready to go.
How do you actually fill your time at the split round?
This week's kind of been just like a normal week without a game on the weekend. So we had a pretty big session today, and tomorrow will be probably about half a day, if that, and then you got Sunday off. So I don't know what Billy... Billy's a pretty prominent surfer. He claims he's one of the Bills Beach
stuck
best.
A little bit of surfing. So,
okay, where do you do that, Billy?
I went down to Torquay yesterday.
Yeah.
With Ed and... Yeah, Ed Kurnow. A few waves. It was quite nice.
We've got a few servers at the club. Like, everyone likes to hang 10 around here.
Yeah. What would you do if you're attacked by a shark? Would you throw Ed Kurnow to the shark and then head for shore under the promise of getting help?
I don't think they'd attack Kurnow because of his clothing. He's probably wearing the water as well.
Yeah, and I think Kurnow would probably be able to out swim more.
He's a bit of a freak. He's a good swimmer too. He does marathons and everything, so he's all right. I don't know about if Billy's a good swimmer.
I'll just wrestle it off.
Yeah, big Bill. He wouldn't be able to get the 95 kilos in his mouth. So,
actually, there was a shark hanging around down in Torquay yesterday.
Yeah.
A few of the locals said, I think the day before, there was one guy supposedly jumped on some guy's board. I don't know if they've put
Is that where he punched the shark?
Turn it up, mate. They put a bit of mayo on that, I reckon.
Yeah. I would have said, yeah, mate, the shark came at me. I said, what do you want, mate? And just gave it an elbow and left.
No, but supposedly after the shark like jumped on his board, only 4 guys went in out of 15. So I don't think...
Was it a competition?
I don't think it phases too many surfers, the old shark.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if there was, say, a 2-week suspension for punching a shark if you're an AFL player. Does that bother you at all? Or?
No.
I'd be like an octopus or octopi. I'll just leave a big poo mark behind me. I'll be out of there. If I see any fin around me, mate, I'm gone. Don't you worry.
Bit of brown ink. Yeah. Now, Tommy, for those who may not know your story, can you just tell us kind of 3 standout facts about the Tommy Bell story?
Get comfy, boys. He's got a whole book here.
Please. 3 standout facts about me personally.
About you personally.
And his football.
And your journey to the Carlton Football Club and your time at the Carlton Football Club.
3 standout facts.
Spotlight on Tommy Bell.
Okay. I started off Brizzy Boy originally. Yep. entered for the draft a couple of times, got knocked back.
What, your path so how old, into... Yeah.
22.
You got drafted at 22?
No, I got drafted at 19.
Oh, how old were you? 19 years old?
Yeah. No, 20. 20.
Okay.
And why not NRL?
I never really played NRL or rugby union. Obviously, Queensland's really NRL-orientated state.
Yeah.
I had a few friends who came up from Victoria, and I think they swayed me towards AFL. And obviously, when they came up, Brisbane Lions, like, I was a Brisbane Lions supporter.
Just won three?
Yeah, they just won three flags. Yeah. So I think that was
persuade you a little bit, eh?
Yeah, so that was great.
And I have talked to Billy about this. He was an amazing track and star. Were you track and field star?
Yeah, track and field star. I did a bit of cross country back in my day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I suppose that's helped me now, help with my endurance in the AFL.
So it's a bit like Anthony Koutafidis, who had that kind of background too.
No, he's not Italian. I think he's...
No,
what are
not
you?
Italian, but...
Oh, background in sports. Oh, I thought you were talking about... I thought your background in what he looks like.
I've heard whispers of the resemblance to Kuda.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but he's a great man. Same hair colour, same kind of physique and height. Okay, so that's, we know you from Brisbane.
Yep.
You've played how many games for Carlton?
17.
Okay. Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Standout game, what's been your best kind
obviously
of playing experience?
The first final against Richmond. I think that was... Yeah, by far, standout game. Good for the club to get that win as well. Also, running out in front of, as I said before, 95,000 at the G. That's probably my highlight. That and my first game. But
And then the final after Richmond against the Swans, then to lose that. What does that do for you early on in your career? Does it give you that kind of, desire to redeem? And
yeah, definitely. Not necessarily to redeem. I think it's like everyone likes playing finals, and I definitely would like to play more finals with the Carlton Football Club. I think that's the direction we are going in. So, yeah, obviously, win more finals would probably be the way to go.
That's the sort of game plan I like to hear, Robbo.
Nice answer.
And
easy.
We'll I'm going to sign off on that one. And you're on the primary list this year. Can you tell me the process? So you're off the rookie list.
Yeah.
And then you're promoted. What's that experience like? Does that give you some certainty then? You can plan a life in Melbourne? Or?
Yeah, a little bit. I spent 2 years on the rookie list and then, got drafted this year.
Congrats. What pick were you?
97 or something. I don't really know.
Still in the top 100, Rob.
Mate, he's still top 100 in Australia.
No, it's not bad. I think, I've still got one more year left on my contract. So, yeah, it's good to finally get on that senior list, which is what I always hoped to. There was like early days when I was sort of had that 1 year contract, they thought I was going to go somewhere else, but I Carlton boy through and through.
That's so, excellent. Yeah. Good to hear. So you're both interstate boys. Do you get home to Brisbane as often?
A little bit. Like, I've been lucky enough the past two times we've gone to Brisbane, I've played one game and then I just travelled with the team last time. So I probably get back 3 times a year, maybe, and then I do a good stint in off season. So like probably 6 weeks back home, spending it with my dad and my brother.
Okay,
and they love it.
Great.
I get lured back a fair bit by Tassie. You know, we've got an AFL team down there.
Well, that's the joy of periodic detention, Robbo.
I say if Tassie get an AFL team, you know,
lovely weather.
Net extension.
Lovely weather down in Tassie.
It's the worst weather I've ever seen, but beaches, it's just like the countryside is nice and green, and it's my island home, mate.
Yeah.
My island home. No.
Speaking of Tassie, Robbo, I just want to move on to your Tats now.
Okay.
I'm not sure if there's a link at all just between Tassie and Tats, but go with me here. Well, there is, actually.
There is, too.
What is the latest tattoo, and can you talk us through it?
I just got one recently yesterday. It's a Tassie devil. We're starting to get instinct, us Tassie boys, so I thought try and show some respect from where I'm from, and... No, I've been wanting to get it for a long time, and I've got the whole plan of the half sleeve type thing. But you know, I want to wait till after footy because everyone's getting tattoos in footy these days, and it looks like. Well, Mum always goes, "Well, Juddy doesn't have a tattoo.
True.
Gary Ablett doesn't have a tattoo. That's why you're probably playing crap." And I was like, "Well, Mum, I'm sorry, but I love them."
Belly, you tattooed up?
Yeah, I've got two. They're hidden, so no one can.
Okay. Are you planning to stop at two, or are there going to be more?
I was having a shower before I came up here, and I was looking in the mirror.
As he always does.
Oh, yeah. There's one. Yeah, and I was thinking, like, maybe I get a couple more, but obviously, we'll just wait and see.
Okay, there you go. See, we always have an exclusive on the Carlton podcast, and that's the exclusive.
I reckon you can get one at the in September.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
There we go.
Premiers 2014.
There we go.
Love where your head's at,
cover that anchor of yours.
No, you know, of course, that Robbo's about to become a dad.
Yep.
And the rest of
that. Great news.
Playing, which is it good news, did you say?
I said great news.
It is great news, yes.
Billy was wondering why wasn't Godfather before, actually. He asked me today. I said he was on the list. He was up there.
Have you chosen a Godfather within the playing group?
No chance. I've got three. I've got three of my best mates in Tassie. It's too hard to split from one because the other one would be kind of devastated. So with all my children, it's going to be the same three for all of them. So
right.
I'm planning on having five boys. I want five boys, so...
Good luck with that.
Get him boxing young. Get him boxing and get him MMA and stuff.
Mitch said I can babysit when he goes.
He can.
Out,
yeah. Oh, you know how like little puppies and stuff.
I'm really responsible.
You take puppies around the park and girls like, oh, he's so cute. Yeah. Well, hopefully my boy's cute, and then Billy can take him around the park and.
But then how am I meant to get girls with?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you're saying you're babysitting, man. I love that. So I've heard.
Don't even be thinking about girls while you're playing. I mean, that's come on. This just
winter's coming up.
Don't do anything besides train.
No distractions.
Just train hard and then go home and train some more. Why are you even on Instagram?
Just think about girls early October when you're taking the Premiership Cup around the state.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah. All right. There we go. Great.
Thanks, Tony.
Tell us about your mustache, Tommy. Because I'm looking at your picture here in the official 24 season guide of the Carlton Football Club. Can you just talk me through that expression? You look kind of like...
And be honest.
Yeah, I reckon 2 seconds after that I got caught holding the ball.
Right.
Not great. But I can remember that. That's weird.
Do look like something from the Adams family.
I don't know. It's just I haven't seen that face before, and it kind of scares me a little bit.
They stitch me up.
There's got to be a better photo.
So the mustache is a new addition for this year, is it?
I've been growing it. You wouldn't know it, but I've been growing it for a few months.
Yeah.
I can't really grow a mustache. I just got rid of it. You wouldn't be able to tell it was there.
It looks good today. I actually gave him a comment this morning when I saw him.
Got
I said
rid of all the other stuff.
He has a bunch of pubic hair on his face, and it's just real bum fluff. But like when he shapes it up, and the moustache looks actually pretty good. There's Kerno's photo. What do you reckon of that one?
Yeah, that's horrific.
That's pretty bad. So you look better than that. That's what I said.
No hair.
Well, it's weird. If you go back to the 70s, early 80s, there are a lot of Carlton players who wore mustaches and they won premierships, so
I'm pretty sure Billy just
I think it's a good sign. Billy
Billy loves his mustache because Mick has one and he's like trying to hold on there, get a little bond going. Oh, how's your mustache going, Mick? Yeah, good, thanks, Billy. You play next week? Yeah, mate, I'll play.
Mick hasn't even noticed my mustache.
Your mustache?
I'm gonna dye it, I reckon.
It's great.
There's plenty going on with it.
Yeah. Okay, Robbo.
Yeah, mate.
You remember last year in the top rated, I think, segment of the whole podcast was educating Mitch Robinson.
And I actually got the answer right because I listened to it that night when it came out and I could hear me clearly saying Simpson.
No.
I did.
No. Protest. No. Protest.
My God.
No way.
After this, we'll bring it back up. If you can, I can definitely hear it.
No.
It's because you start laughing. You start laughing when I say it. I said, Simpson? And you're like, oh, Carrazzo. Trust me, I said it. I know my truth. I wouldn't lie about his boys.
No, you wouldn't. No. All right, so what we do here, Belly, is I'm going to throw some facts out. Okay. It's about a player that you play with, a fellow member of the playing group.
Yeah.
And you have to buzz in early if you know who it is.
And it's like there's like 10 questions, I'm pretty sure.
So.
And it's all about the same player. Because so they didn't really tell me these rules when I was going for it.
Is this a competition between me and Mitch?
Yes, it is, Billy. Just like how Kenny Hunter and Manny Hunter like me better than you. Oh, that's Kane Lucas. My bad.
All right, here we go. Good. Do you know your teammates Mitch Robinson and Tommy Bell?
Yep. I know Tom Bell.
Hello, Mitchell.
Question number one. All up, I have played 70 games for Carlton.
Buzzer. Zach Tui.
Are you allowed a buzzer and then get it wrong? No.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Is that
I'll allow it. No, it's the wrong answer.
Okay. So okay. You can have a shot now.
See you later. I can have a shot.
Yeah. Number two, for my previous club, I was drafted as selection 8 in the 2007 AFL draft.
Rob Warnock.
Incorrect. Number
you
three.
You've got to have a say because you're making me look stupid.
I'm going to get there. Just wait.
Okay. Number three, I am 196 centimetres tall.
Oh, I don't
kind of in your league.
Did you say he played 70 games for his old club or 70 games for Carlton?
70 games for Carlton.
Ooh.
70 games for Carlton.
Okay, number four. This should give it away. Actually, no, number five will give it away. Before being recruited by an AFL club, I played TAC Cup football for the Geelong Falcons.
Can I?
No.
I don't know who these blokes.
This is tough.
70 games. I should have played a few games with him.
You're going to kick yourself when you hear it. And I'm talking to you, Tommy Bell.
Everyone's... Why should he kick himself?
Because there's a link.
Lockie Henderson.
Is that your answer?
Yeah, that is my answer.
That is correct.
You didn't even ask the fifth question.
The fifth question was, I was traded to the Blues at the end of 2009.
Lockie Henderson. I would have got that straight away.
You wouldn't have got that at all. You had four bites of the cherry, Mitch Robinson.
That's unfair because you go, it's kind of linked to you. So how's that fair to me? You didn't give me... That wasn't even a question.
Because he's just beside me.
Was that even a question?
That's why.
He just sits there dumb as nails. I'm having a crack.
Surfer.
The link was Queensland.
I was having a crack and you're barely sitting back on... I don't know, mate.
I knew from the first question. I just wanted to give you some time.
So did I.
Question number six would have been, I am the greatest value trade in Carlton's history.
Brendan Favola.
Yeah, we got rid of Fevy and got Lucky Henderson.
We got Fev and...
Well, let's just hold off because Dale Thomas might be the next big thing for Carlton Trade.
Okay, we'll save the last. Present company excluded, of course. Okay. That was Lockie Henderson. Tommy Bell, thank you for coming in on your first ever Carlton podcast.
No worries. Enjoy.
Big Bell. Have a look at him.
Good luck against Richmond.
Thank you.
Very enjoyable debut on the Carlton podcast. Hope to see you here again.
I will be here.
And look out for me and Belly next week because we're going to be the Bash Brothers.
We are.
We're going to bring it back.
Oh, I've no doubt you will have a great game next week, Robbo.
We do.
Certainly hope you do too.
All the fans have some faith in us. We're coming through with the Goosers Trust Us.
I know. Well, you'll step up against the old foe, and we look forward to getting the first 4 points of the season posted for the great Carlton Football Club. Mitch Robinson, thank you again.
I've been
Tony
Mokby.
This is the Carlton Podcast. We will catch you next week.